Do not, like to say, adjust your television or your glasses. I am not Pastor Bruce. He might be that brother from another mother. And one thing we got different, I told Pastor Bruce, I know they think we look like twins, but I have the perfect tan. And I don't have to lay on the beach all day to get it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, boy, it's all been popping this morning. Y'all might not invite me up here no more after the day. A little short, bald-headed man in the saddle this morning. That's Brother Jimmy. If I can close my eyes, I know that voice. It's just good to be here in Family Worship Center. Always. And pray for Maria, the other half. She, you know, she has Crohn's disease, had a little flare up, and then you got that female thing going on, so keep in your prayers. First, giving thanks to Almighty God for allowing me the opportunity to be here, and Pastor Bruce in his absence, we pray that, we know he's enjoying himself. I just talked to him about 5 minutes ago. We pray for safe travel, that he come back safe, because you know you could just walk out the door and anything could happen. Brother in the back, can you hear me, man? Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you. This morning, you know, I have a newfound respect for Pastor Bruce. You know, when I joined this band of Baptized Believers at the Family Worship Center, I remember when I was up in the leadership room and when I came aboard, Craig said that Pastor Bruce is going to love this. He get a chance to take vacation. He get a chance not to be all tied up. He got somebody to bring the word while he's doing something else. So I was teaching Sunday school, and I said to myself, I'm teaching Sunday school, but then I got to come over here and got to, oh, I see why Pastor Bruce got me down here. He'd be up there going over his notes. It's good to have good help. Everybody needs some help sometime. And it's good to have a good helpmate. Men's. Amen. I know it's tight, but it's right. It's good to have someone that even when they're not there, they got your back. I thank God for Jesus. Just to warm up just a little bit, I said, Pastor Bruce, you know I'm going to do at least one verse or something. He said, well, Brother Drayton, if it wasn't you, if you didn't do it, all of us need Jesus every day, every morning, every hour. There's nothing we can do without him. And I was at a homegoing service yesterday. I realized that we didn't come here to stay. I realized that one day we'll be called on. But what you do here determines where you'll spend eternity. Today is a good day to give yourself to the Lord. It all belongs to him anyhow. But I just want to say this. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Yeah. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. That's one of my old black backwoods country Baptists hymnals. Said, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Amen. Now, let me beat you up a little bit with the word. Amen? Amen. You know, the last couple of weeks or so, teachers under school, we were talking about prayer. Praying, how prayer changes things. And you know, sometimes we pray and all night, during the day, and it seems like God has turned a deaf ear. Lord, I'm praying and praying, but I don't see no results. You know what? Keep on praying. Because God moves in his own time. God does what God wants to do. Because he is omnipotent. That just means he's all powerful. There's none other than him. He's at the apex, the top. That's it. When you look up, if someone higher than you than God, you ain't looking for enough. That ain't it. Amen, somebody. This morning, we want to take a look at 2 Kings 20th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now, let me tell you this before I start reading this. Normally, I have my New Living Translation Bible. But y'all remember when I went in that ditch, my car got sank, whatever the English word is. Well, my Bible was in there too. It's in the garage right now, being dried up and crumpled and crinkled and pages all riddled. So, you know, I just walked by and I didn't pick it up this morning. But I do have the King James Version, so it may be slightly different than what you see up there, but God's word is God's word. Amen. It never changes. It is what it is. Don't add anything to it. Don't take nothing away from it. Now, the methodology has to change. But the word doesn't. I cannot preach to JJ like I would to Brother Williams or somebody. But the word is the same. As time evolves and as time goes on, methodology has to change. You know, we got this young generation. And you got to get to them. You got to break that barrier. You got to lead them to Christ. And sometimes you just got to spit it and get it, so they can understand. You know, I work at a boys' home. I'm a teacher, history teacher, and everybody wants to be rappers. Everybody rap in class. I bring out my BRs to write folks up. They sit down and hush. Oh, Rip, done got the pencil. Yeah, sit down, boys, history. But they say, can I spit something? You ain't spitting nothing up in here. That just simply means, can I rap? Oh, well, you better, I'm old school, better tell me. I'm going to kick you out of class. I'm not spitting. So this terminology has changed. Things have changed. But you got to do what you have to do to get them. Bring them in. I truly believe if you get them here, if they come enough, hang around the church, something good will happen to you. Amen. As we look at this, we talk about King Hezekiah. Verse 20, in those days was Hezekiah sick and unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, Verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 7, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I will go into the house of the Lord the third day? We'll stop right there. Go back to verse 2, Ed. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, now, how many times do we pray for something and not get an immediate answer and want to give up? Want to throw in the towel? How many times we pray and we don't get the answer that we want to get? I stopped by just to let you know this. Excuse my English, but it ain't over until God says it's over. Or should I say, it isn't over. Whatever it is that get the message across, it's all in his hand. I heard this old lady tell me one day that God is the slowest man that she knows, that's always right on time. How many times, my brothers and sisters, have you did something and wondered, where is he? And when he shows up, Lord, thank you, you're right on time. But before he got there, Lord have mercy, where are you? I need you. But you're always right on time. See, when you're praying to God, we see here that King Hezekiah, he was sick, couldn't get well. When a prophet come to you and tell you to get your affairs in order, when the doctor tell you to get your affairs in order because I give you 3 to 6 weeks, that's a lot to take. That's a bombshell. They tell me that King Hezekiah, when the prophet told him that the Lord said he was sure to die, he boo-boo, who wouldn't? Now, there are some other people who will say, okay, I know I'm going to die anyhow, so I'm going to do everything I want to do while I can do it, while I can, because I'm still here. No matter how right or wrong it is, I'm going to do it. And you might lift up your eyes in hell if you're not doing what God said. Amen? If you know your time is short on this side, I will be doing everything I can to make it up there. Amen? Yeah, a little bald head man crazy, but that's what I'll be doing. But now, I tell you something else. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed. He prayed, and he prayed. He didn't get up, went out, got him a 40, some crystal, and went to the party. And I know the time is short. No, he prayed. Why did he turn his face to the wall? Is it that he was like those horses with those blinders on? He wanted to stay focused. Is it that he turned his face to the wall so he can concentrate on nothing but prayer, so he can be mano y mano, me and the Lord, I'm talking to him? Is it that he just wanted to turn his face to the wall because he was turning his back on his sinful world, or what? I don't know. But the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. The prophet told him, he said, that you will surely die. But see, we serve an on-time, right-now God. The Bible also said that before the prophet could leave the court, God tapped him and said, hey, wait a minute. You turn around, go right back in there, and tell King Hezekiah, I said that I heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. I'm going to add 15 more years on his life. We serve an on-time God. The prophet never left the court. Right then and there, God can do that. He's all powerful. He can change his mind when he gets ready. Thank you, God, for changing your mind sometime for this little short bald-haired man by the name of Lorenzo Drayton. I don't know where I'd be. Thank you for allowing that woman right there to pray for me, her mother, the church, and everyone else. Thank you. If you live in righteousness, please pray for me. For the Bible says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Pray for me. But if you're out there spitting it and getting it, doing everything you big and bad enough to do that you shouldn't do, don't pray for me. And don't come talking about laying no hands on me. You might get hurt. But if you are walking the straight and narrow, please pray for me. There's the thing that we used to say in the Baptist church. You pray for me, I pray for you. That's the thing we good Christians do. Prayer does change things. Prayer does, and it can change your disposition. Now, I will say this. There are times when you're on your knees and praying, you need to get up. If I desire prayer because I can't eat, I'm hungry. It's okay to pray for me, but you need to bring me some food. Get up, stop praying, bring me something to eat. Amen? Amen. It's good to pray. Man ought to always pray. But now, if you put something in my stomach, now you got my attention, I can listen. Before, all I was doing, thinking about pork chop, oxtail, rice, green beans, collard greens, I wouldn't think about what you were saying. I was looking at you, but my stomach was rumbling. I'm still looking at you, but I'm hungry. Pray for me, but if I'm hungry, feed me. If I'm naked, bring some clothes to me. Put some clothes on me and keep praying for me. Amen, somebody. Amen. Don't stop praying. I'm gonna leave that alone. Move right along. Now, doing this, Hezekiah, like anybody and anybody that in a situation want to know, Lord, you said you heard me. You said you heard my prayers. You saw my tears. And you know me, I'm not old school, not that old. I'm not that young. I guess you can say I'm middle school, maybe leaning towards old school a little bit. But I like to know, too. Hezekiah said, Lord, give me a sign. We all want a sign. Who don't want a sign? Everybody wants to know what's going to happen to them. Everybody wants to know, is this confirmed that you are going to heal me? Is it confirmed that I'm going to recover from this? Give me a sign, Lord. Well, don't drop nothing on my head. Don't drop nothing out the sky, but give me a sign. Well, I'll tell you what he did. Do you remember in Judge, the Gideons, they was fighting the Midianites. And they wanted to know, Lord, should we be fighting these people? Give me a sign. So he said, Lord, I think it was in Judges, he said, take the fleece. What is fleece? Fleece is like wool, expensive wool, like a covering, a cloth wool. Take it, set it outside your door. On the outside, in the elements, overnight. Now, in the morning, if that fleece is wet, soaked in water, but yet all around it is dry, I believe it. That's a sign. Woke up, I'm finna move, Ed. I'm finna move.
Woke up.
Ed. Woke up. Y'all hear me? I guess I don't hear myself. Woke up. Everybody up. Walk out the door. That little fleece was outside the door. It was soaked and wet. Picked it up, wringed out about a bowl of water, but yet all around it was dry. That's a miracle. That's an answer from God. But you know, not to be outdone, you know, okay, well, Lord, we know that that happened, but can you do it the other way? Can you take that same fleece? You know what? I want the fleece to be dry and let it be wet all around. Gotcha now. No. Put it outside the door. Woke up the next day. Grab that little piece of wool, the fleece. Dry as a bone. Not a tap of water. But yet all around it was wet. Gotta be someone higher than anybody that I know. Lord, I'll go and I'll fight the Midianites. That was a sign. But see, Hezekiah wanted a sign. Hezekiah said, take the sundial. What's a sundial, family worship center? A sundial is a big round plate that has numbers on it. Got a pointer that they used to tell time by. The sun would shine on it and cast a shadow. So they said, let it go 10 degrees backwards when it's supposed to be going 10 degrees forward. That's impossible. Not with Almighty God, it isn't. Amen, somebody. What happened, Brother Drayton? Well, he looked at the sundial and it went 10 degrees backwards. That was his sign. Lord, I know you're going to heal me. Lord, I know you're going to do just what you said you're going to do. You said it. I believe it. I accept it. I'm done with it now. God tells you to do something, do it and believe it. Now, I will say this. I'm not crazy. I just look like this sometimes. Once I cut my hair, I thought I looked a little crazy, but if God tells me, Brother Drayton, I want you to go and attack and jump on Lou Ferrigno, Shaquille O'Neal. Lord, wait a minute. Is that you? Give me a sign, Lord. Man, you got to give me more than a sign. You almost got to push me over there. Now you have to make sure that whoever is putting this in your head, you have a relationship with them, and it's God. Here I am, 5 feet. Six and a half, probably 7 inches what I had on my head, 9 down to 6. What do I look like? Talking about standing up and fighting somebody like that, or like this big man. And Lord, but see, if he's seen you there, if it's him, then he has prepared you for that. But you must make sure you have a personal relationship with God. Or you will be dealt with. Amen. Give me a sign, signs all around. Sometimes we break them. Every now and then, when I look at my watch, I'm running behind. I know the speed limit is 55, 65 in some places. Every now and then, I might do 65, 75. Stop looking at me like that. Y'all do it too. Y'all ain't know y'all ride the speed limit all the time. Amen, somebody. God just give you traveling grace. See, I got a wake-up call on 609. If it's raining, I don't care what it looked like. Slow down. I was passing all the puddles going around, but out of all those puddles that I passed, that one got me. One. I was doing good. Almost here. I called Craig. Craig, I need some help. What's wrong? I mean, woo! Man, I tell you what, God is good. When I had the plane into the ditch, for a split second, I was lost, disoriented. Didn't know what was going on. My car was rocking. Call a
bumper of the rock on the highway. And I looked in the rearview mirror, I see the bumper behind me when I know I'm supposed to be on the car in the front. Then all of a sudden, I said, Lord, I don't want to die like this. And you know what I did? I quickly came to my senses. I said, you little bald-headed joker, if you don't get out of this car. I jumped, got out. It blew, 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 blew. Glad I had a little bit of, I mean, I'm an athlete I used to be, but I'm glad I had a little bit of strength in my leg. I was able to jump far enough. Amen, somebody. And I thank God I'm here today. And I move on a little further. I'm not trying to be like I can be sometimes along with. Let me move on. God gives us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We got to build a personal relationship with him to understand. Now, we must also know that God is coming back. Oh, he's coming back. Don't let anybody fool you. But he's coming back not to save the world, but to judge the world. Amen. So now is the time, family worship, to get your house in order. Now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to step out and be saved. Amen. Because nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody knows the time. Nobody knows how long you're going to be here. Nobody knows what's going to happen at any time. My mama told me, she said, baby, you can get another car. But I only have one Lorenzo. I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you, Jesus. But see, God sees further down the road than we does. Amen, somebody. If I move on a little further before I almost wrap this up, I want to tell you something about being saved and being judged. Then let's show a man to sit down. Now, there was a story about these two young boys. These two boys, they grew up together. They were best friends, like two peas in a pot. Like my mom and her twin sisters, you see one, you see the other one. You don't see the other one, you think something wrong unless you're home. Amen. These two young boys, they grew up together. They played basketball together. They were on the same basketball team, played football together, ran the streets together. But then as time went on, they joined the army together. While they was in the army fighting the war, one got into a foxhole. A grenade was thrown into this foxhole. So his friend went down into the foxhole and picked him up and carried him on to safety and saved him. But as time went on, they got a little older. There was a great murder in this town. One boy went one way, one boy went the other way. One became a criminal. One became a judge. But as time went on, someone had committed a crime in this town. And this young boy went into courtroom and he had to be sentenced for his crime. And the judge stood up and he said, young man, please stand while I give you your sentence. The young boy looked at the judge and realized the judge was his best friend since he was a little boy. He realized that he knew the judge from a long time ago, to play ball together, to ran the street together. And the boy stood up and he said, judge, don't you remember me? I'm the same one that used to play basketball with you. I'm the same one that ran the streets with you. I'm the same one that you saved out of that foxhole in the army. He said, judge, you saved me that time. I'm wondering, could you save me just one more time? The judge looked at him and he said, I'm sorry. I can't save you no more. You know why? Because when I saved you the first time, I was in the saving business in the army. But I'm a judge now. I'm sitting on the bench. I got to judge you for your sins. I got to judge you for your wrongdoings. I got to judge you for what you've done. I can't save you no more. I'm sorry, I know we're best friends, but I want you to know that when Jesus come back, he's not coming to save you. He's coming to judge you for what you've done. So now is the time to get it right and be saved. If you don't take nothing else from what I said today when you walk out them doors, remember this, he's coming back. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you that he's not. He's coming back, but he's coming back to judge the right from the wrong. He's going to divide the weak from the tare. He's going to divide those that obeyed him, those that disobeyed. He is coming back one day. Today is a good day to get your house in order and be saved. I would not leave out those doors this morning, not knowing where I would spend eternity. It's not promised to you. Tomorrow isn't promised to you. The next hour isn't promised to you. One thing I don't want to do is for Jesus, when I'm standing before him, saying, pardon for me. I know you not. But I ain't got to worry about that. I don't. And every Sunday school, Bible study, up in the pulpit, when the word is being taught, the word is being taught, the word is going out, you be receptive. Amen? Be receptive. And accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior. We talked about baptism this morning, which was pretty good. And as I close and walk down here, I want you to know that yesterday was somebody else's day. Today will be somebody else's day. Someone will pass today. Someone will transition today. It's a given, a known fact. But this corruptible state that we're in, this corruptible body that we're in, God don't want us going into his incorruptible kingdom. I don't either. Amen. Man, I got bad knees, sore back, everything cracking. What do you want this up there for? Amen. Amen. God bless the Family Worship Center. Can we all stand, please? I know many of us always look for signs. Sometimes it'd be right there in front of us. It'd be so close we don't see it. This young man went to New York to see this high skyscraper building. And he was asking people that was walking all around. He's looking up in the air, wanting to know where's the tallest building at. The guy said, turn around, it's 2 feet away from you. You're standing right next to it. He was so close in front of me, didn't even see it. So sometimes you just gotta take a good look. God, powerful work is everywhere. If you're here today and you not know where your salvation lies, or if you're questioning your salvation, question whether you're saved or not, I don't have an issue hanging back, hanging around, trying to explain and show you in the Bible where it is. We had a great Sunday school lesson this morning, and I asked, you know, have you led anybody to Christ lately? Do you lead people to Christ? When you do, God is, and the angels are rejoicing. Amen. And when God looks at my record, I want him to see that I've done all that I can do, or the best that I can do, that I did lead somebody to him. And the angels will be rejoicing. I was told at work, say, Reb, you can't save them all. I said, well, I'm going to save all I can. I'm going to lead all I can. Only God knows my limit abilities. Amen. So if you're here today, something you want to pray about, ask God about, talk to God about, now's a good time. None of us are perfect. Not me, Pastor Bruce, my mom, nobody. We're not perfect. But we must strive for perfection until he gets back. Anybody tell you that they're perfect? Go the other way. Oh, the only one I know that's perfect. And you can pray. Like we said in Sunday school, you can pray right there. You can bow your head. You can step out, come, kneel down. God hears your cry. He hears you. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed. God answered his prayers. He's the same God today as he was back then. Prayer does change things. God does answer prayers. He intercedes. I pray for my children. I pray for my wife. I pray for myself. I pray for the church. I pray for the world. I even pray for our government. I pray. We serve an awesome God. Even if you don't step out and pray here, you can pray home. God is good. Thank you. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep. Hope you got a word you can carry out. Go home with it. And keep Pastor Bruce in your prayers. We're going to ask this young man here. You know what? Y'all know how Roger is. I saw Roger at work. He picked me up like he broke my back, man. And, you know, where I work, me boys are broken the law. Mr. Green, who that big white dude to pick you up?